So in this week's parsha, parsha's Bo, we have a very unique mitzvah, a very special mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe al Aaron, be'eretz Mitzrayim leimor." Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, "Hachodesh hazeh lochem Rosh Chodeshim." This month should be the Rosh Chodeshim, the first of the month. Rishahu lochem lechad shayashana, it's the first of all of the month. And Rashi says on Hachodesh Hazeh, this month, he quotes a Medrash, a Mechilta, a Medrash, Her Eyu Levana b'chidusha, Hashem showed him the moon, the new moon, the Omar lo, and he said to him, Kishayareach mishadish, yeh lecha Rosh Chodesh. When there's a new moon, that will be a Rosh Chodesh. And then Rashi goes on, he says, you know, also, that doesn't seem to be the simple understanding of the Pasuk. The simple understanding is that this month of Nisan is the first month. So Rashi goes on, and says, Ve'ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. You can't take a Pasuk out of it. Simple explanation. That Al Chodesh Nisan Amar lo, about Nisan, he said to him, Zeh yeh rosh l'seder, meaning a chadash, and this will be the first of the count of the month. But what we have is that is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is learned out from this pasuk. Now, what makes the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh very special is that although we bumped into a couple of mitzvot in Sefer Bereishis, sort of the Sefer Chinuch placement of those mitzvot. They'll appear again elsewhere in the Torah, or when they were placed there, like, for example, Mila repeats itself. Gedanoshe is sort of as understood by Chazal as being later, and, you know, narratively inserted into there, but it's really being said later. Here, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is being said at this point, and to that note, Rashi, at the very beginning of Bereishis, the very first Rashi in the Torah, Rashi writes, right? You're nodding, of course. Rashi writes. You can skip all the introductions in the Chumash. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lo haya tzarech lahascha es haTorah ela mehachodesh hazeh lachem. The Torah only needed to start from that mitzvah. She mitzvah rishonah shnitzavu by Yisrael. It's the first mitzvah that Yisrael, as a people, was commanded, etc. So, it's the first mitzvah that Kal Yisrael receives. It's certain to be a very special and important mitzvah, and hopefully we can gain understanding of what the takeaway message of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is. Now, before we do that, we just have to give a little definition of what do we mean when we say the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. What's the mitzvah? Is it say Yalav Yavo? Is that the mitzvah that we're talking about? Obviously not. That's a rabbinic addition to a rabbinically ordained tshiva. So, Sefer HaChinuch, in describing the mitzvah, it happens to be actually a machlokas, a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. Sefer HaChinuch brings as to what this mitzvah includes. According to the Ramban, the mitzvah is simply Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month, which is necessary to define when the Yamim Tovim will be, when the Moladim will fall out. Exactly. So the way that the Sefer HaChinuch says it is, Likvoa Mori Hashana Al Pi Oso Kadesh Chadashim, to sanctify the month, and to establish the Moadim based on that Kiddush, based on that sanctification of the month. And he says, quotes our pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, Klomar, meaning to say, when you see the moon in its Chidusha, the new moon, Tikbu Lachem Rosh Chodesh, you should establish Rosh Chodesh. So really, you know, it's not so much Rosh Chodesh as much as the new month is the mitzvah. Exactly. He says even if you don't see it, since it should be seen based on the calculation, you can also establish the month. And really, actually, he goes on to say that, you know, really you need a basting, and you got muflag, b'chachma, you need some, you know, smicha in order to establish the new month, and we don't have smicha anymore, we don't have real smicha anymore, so how could we, you know, make a new month? So he says we rely on, we rely on the calendar of Hillel Hanasi, the song of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he was a nismach, he had smicha, and he established the cheshbon, the calculations for our month, and he was mekadesh all the months, and was me'aber the shanim, he made leap years, ad sheyavo Eliyahu, until the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi, and that's what we rely on today. Now, as I mentioned, there's this dispute between the Rambam and the Rambam. It's really just about whether included in this mitzvah is also the mitzvah of Ibur HaShana, to make a leap year, to add a month when necessary. According to the Rambam, it is part of the same mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's two separate mitzvahs. They're both mitzvahs, but they're counted separately. That's just a technical question in how you count up the 613 mitzvahs. Now, what is the shoresh mitzvah? What's the root of this mitzvah? The Sefer HaChinuch always gives us, you know, what's the root? So he says it's in order that the mo'adim should come out in their proper time. And this seems to be focused more on Ibur Hashanah, on making a leap year. He says, you know, Hashem commanding us to have Pesach in the spring. And right, Shamor es Chodesh Ha'aviv, Asisa Pesach, and Sukkot should be at the time of the harvest, the Chag Ha'asif. So, and if we didn't have these Ibur Hashanim, these leap years, we wouldn't have our holidays in the right time. And really, he focuses more on the Ibur Hashanah than on making the month, establishing the month. So we have to dig a little deeper to find someone who speaks about the time ha-mitzvot of Rosh Chodesh, of establishing the new month. So I came across a sefer, Karban Eliyahu, which I saw quoting an English book, but I tracked down the original version. And it seems to be just a short sefer that was maybe meant to be longer, or maybe we just have only part of it. I don't remember if I printed out the whole thing, but this may be the whole thing. I think there were a few more. I think it was like 11 pages, and this is about 6 pages of it. But he's going through Taimei HaMitzvot, the reasons behind mitzvot. And he starts from, he's following the same order as the Sefer HaChinuch, and he generally quotes the Sefer HaChinuch, and then he says, you know, and I think that they also suggest this reason and this reason. So about this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, so he says that li hamechaber nireh, to me, the author, it seems, that the purpose of this mitzvah is today shebaavor hisaskus b'mitzvah zu, through involving ourselves in this mitzvah, yavo lehaskel b'tchunos hamazal, will come to a understanding of the way that the sky works, the constellations, and it will uvahavin b'chochmas habore ki rabahi, and will realize the great wisdom of the Creator of the world. And this will bring us to fear of Hashem, and to recognize our own lowliness, like similar to the pasuk. The eres shemecha ma'aseh tzvosecha. The pasuk in Tehillim that when I see what you know, that your creation, the creation of your fingers, yarech v'kochavim, the moon and the stars, asher konanta. Then shortly after the pasuk says ma enosh kisis kerenu. I think it's in the same parak. We say we come to recognition of what's man. We recognize our lowliness when we see the you know the great vastness of that of the and the wisdom of that which Hashem created. So it's not just actually the I mentioned vastness. That's not really what his focus is. His focus is more on understanding of astronomy. You realize, wow, you know, what an amazing creation. As a result, I think the vastness has something to do with it, that you can look and you can say, wow, you know, someone created this, and what, how, you know, humbling that is. Right? What is man before such a creator? And it teaches us humility. And that is one reason that he suggests for this mitzvah. Now, in a similar vein, I think there are a number of Rishonim that you know it's along the same lines in that it develops a Yiras Shamayim by watching the constellations, but more so in just seeing the moon renew itself, we recognize the idea of Hashem created this world from Yesh Me'ayin, from nothing. In that, this is the Rabbi Yonasan Yubunil, the Rinu Yubunil. So he says, he's going on. That we say in Kiddush Levana, which is really this part is quoted, I think, from the Gemara. It says Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. It was taught in the Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Il Mole Lo Zachul Yisrael Elo Hakdil Pnei Avim Shabashmayim Pam Achas Hakodesh Daya. All we had was the chance, the only mitzvah we had was the opportunity to receive the Pnei Avim Shabashmayim, to receive the face of our Father in heaven once a month. That was our only mitzvah. Dayam, that would be enough. That is a great mitzvah, the Gemara is saying. And again, we see, right, the significance of this mitzvah. And what's so significant, right? The Gemara goes on to say, Amar Abaye Hilkach Tzarech Amem Ramu Umad, and therefore we have to say it standing because it's such a great mitzvah. What's so great about the mitzvah? So, the Rimi Gunil explains that because there's nothing that remains in creation that will, you know, the words he uses are almost proof, but I think what he means is show the idea that that the world was created and has not existed forever, right? Many philosophers believed in the Kadmus Olam, that the world has existed forever. The Rishonim were coming to, you know, to dispute that, right? The Torah disputes that. The Torah says the world was created. He says there's no proof to that. There's no sign of that except for the moon. And that every month it disappears completely from sight, and then as if almost yesh me'ayin, from nothing, it reappears to us. He says it's an aid of oath. That's why it's almost, he makes it sound like it's almost a proof. It's an aid, it's a testimony. And an oath, oath, you know, means sign, but it also often means proof that that yotzer hakol yotzer mitzchila me'ayin, that the creator of all created the world at the beginning from nothing, and he could return it to nothing if he wants, and that's why and by making Kiddush Levana, by blessing the moon, so on the new moon, which Hashem has just recreated, so you are acknowledging, you're showing that Hashem created the world from nothing. And he goes on, and this is where I think it's similar to what the Karban Eliyahu was saying, is that kisheyaming ha'adam b'zeh, when a person believes in this, the yakir, and he recognizes yitachin imenu, he'll fear him, but will yosem in mitzvah so yaming usmol, and you won't stray from the mitzvahs of Hashem, neither right nor left. And in that way, it's like receiving the Shechina because you are, it's an edus, it's a recognition, it's a testimony of Hashem creating the world. And Rabbi Elchai also says this in this week's parasha. Again, he uses a more, he doesn't use the word aid, it's a testimony as much. He says, when a person sees the new moon and makes a bracha over it, he's testifying about the chiddush olam, that the world is newly created, which is an ikar ha'emuna, it's a foundation of our belief. And he's acknowledging that there's a yotzer bereishis, that there's a creator who renewed the world, he created the world for anew, he created it for nothing, just as the moon renews itself each month. And so the Rishonim are telling us that this mitzvah is an acknowledgement of Hashem as the creator of the world. And so it's understandable why it's such a foundational mitzvah, and maybe why it's the first mitzvah, because it's really 101. It's step one, which is acknowledge that we're in a world that was created by Hashem. And the new moon, the hispadshus of the moon, the renewal each month, is like a yesh me'ayin. It's a reminder that, and a simming, a sign that the world was created anew by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh, he's the ribono shel olam, he's the master of the world. This world is a product and exists only because of him. And now, once you've acknowledged that, once you're aware of that, you're reminded of that, now you're ready to approach the rest of the mitzvot. Karban Eliyahu goes on, and he has a second suggestion for what this mitzvah, the lesson, what's the takeaway of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Again, the mitzvah of sanctifying the new month. And I don't want to confuse, because I started talking about Kiddush Levana, making the bracha on the moon, not to be confused with sanctifying the month of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh always actually happens, a few days before Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana can extend all the way till the 15th of the month. That's a different mitzvah, a mitzvah derabanan. But we learn from there a lot about the, Rosh Chodesh and the moon, and it has the same concepts are brought out. So the second suggestion of the Karban Eliyahu is that the reason why we want to look up the moon, and look for it and sanctify the new month by looking at the moon is to remind us of the famous Medrash that's brought in Parshas Bereishis as well, which is Pasuk describes when Hashem creates. And Hashem created the two great constellations, the two great lights, the sun and the moon. And then it says, "Es ha'ma'or ha'gadol l'memshalas hayom, the big ma'or, the big light, to rule by day. Es ha'ma'or ha'katon l'memshalas ha'layla, and the small light to rule at night." And the first the pasuk says, "And created the two great lights," and then just a moment later it says, "The big light and the or luminary." I think they like to use the word luminary. The two great luminaries, and then the pasuk goes on and it refers to a large luminary and a small luminary. And Rashi quotes the Medrash Shavim Nivru, the Gemara and Chulin. Shavim Nivru, they were created equal at first. They were both Gedolim. The Nismata Halavana, and the Levana was shrunk down. Because it was Mekatri, because they accused, they criticized the Amra, and it said, it's impossible for two kings to rule with one crown, and Hashem put him in his place, and shrunk the moon. So, now, of course, this is, you know, this is meant to teach us something. It's not, you know, this fight didn't literally take place in that way where you had the moon, right? So it's, the Torah is teaching us an important lesson here. And I think there are numerous lessons, but the lesson that Karban Eliyahu wants to bring out, he says that when you have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh and you're sanctifying the new month, so you're looking up at the moon, you're looking for it, right? That's how they sanctified the month. They would see the new moon. So you're thinking about the moon, and you're reminded of this. You see the, really, it's not just that you see the moon, but you see the moon, the sliver. And you're reminded the small moon it was shrunk down because of its argument with the sun. Now, he says, by looking at it, Yavo Lassim Ben Einav, he'll put between his eyes, he'll remember, Kama Hizia Lalevana Bavor Shekitriga Bechara. What happened to the Levana? What happened to the moon for being Mekatrig, for fighting against the Chama? The Yisru Kohanashim Hilishraim Kohechod Bavor Chaveiro in Yisru Dabar Mashal Bidua. And this will prevent people from complaining if they see, you know, that from being jealous of a friend for, you know, having something a little bit greater, a little bit better, or even equal. So this will prevent that. It will be reminded of, you know, don't criticize, look what happened, you know, that's the lesson that he wants to bring out. There's also another important lesson, I think, at least one, which is that if you think about it, and we'll talk about this more, it was kind of strange that the Levana would, you know, want to wipe out the Chama, right? That the moon would be saying, you know, shrink the sun, right? We can't have a sun here, right? Because as we know, the moon gets its light from the sun. So what was the moon thinking, you know, on the contrary, it should be thankful to the sun for providing its light. So I think that what we see is an idea when it comes to Hakara Satov, recognizing the good, and Kafui Tov, and denying good, an important lesson, which is that at times, people don't want to acknowledge that someone has done something good for them. It makes them feel like they owe them something. It's easier just to look the other way and to not acknowledge it. And sometimes it goes to get taken to such an extreme that they sort of lash out back at the hand that feeds them. They bite the hand that feeds them because they don't want to have to acknowledge appreciation or that they owe them something, and even sometimes it's not just not wanting to acknowledge, but even to a negative response. And I think that this may be an example of that where the, you know, you see that you see that resting here where the Levana, who's getting its light from the sun, rather than appreciating that, you know, that is what the sun is providing to it, responds, whatever it means exactly, but, you know, it criticized the sun. It demanded that the sun be taken down a notch. So that's another important lesson of when we're reminding of this medrash. Of course, you know, on the sun side, there's also an important lesson, which is that the Gemara says And now Lavim Ve'inam Olvim, those that are insulted but don't feel insulted, Shomim Cherpasim Ve'inam Meshivim, they hear their people insulting them and they don't respond. Allah Bakastav Omer, about him, the Pasuk says, the Ohavav Kiseis Hashem Eshig Barasa. I think it's a Pasuk from Shiras Devorah. That and his loved ones are like Kitzesa Shemesh Vigvarasa, like the sun coming out in its strength. And the Mefarshim explain that that's referring to this moment where the sun doesn't respond. It's insulted, it's criticized, and we don't find the Medrash makes any mention of the sun's response. And the lesson, so you really have another important lesson here, which is to. It happens sometimes, people speak badly towards us, but at the end of the day, the best response is silence, not to respond, is no response, and ohavav, the pasuk describes that person as Hashem's loved one, and right, Chazal say that Mavir Almidosav, Mavirim Almidosav, something along those lines, that one who lets things go, so Hashem responds in kind and, you know, will let things go for you a little bit also. So it's a beautiful lesson to take from the son that, you know, to just let it go, you're rewarded, you're considered the loved one of Hashem. Another lesson Karban Eliyahu brings out is we touched on this, I think, when we talked about Yid Anoshe. Rowim Yisrael Shalom Avda Tikvasam Begolos Tamar Hazeh. The Jewish people see in engaging in this mitzvah that hope is not lost in this long galus. We may be low, we may be downtrodden, beaten up on, but we have hope, and the moon is the proof. Now, even though it's dark, it will return to its strength, to its height, and be light again. And the same is true for the Jewish people. That's why we're compared to the Levana, right? As we say in Kiddush Levana, we say, V'la Levana Omar Shisadish Ateres Tiferes Mamuse Baten. To the moon, he says that it should renew itself, a crown of glory, of splendor for the for those born of the womb for humans. That they too are going to, the Jewish people are also going to be renewed like the moon. That by looking at the moon, by again, actually you're not necessarily supposed to look directly at the moon, but by engaging in this mitzvah where I don't think you're supposed to stare at the moon, but even during Kiddush Levana, I think you're supposed to, you know, make sure it's there, okay, you know, I can see it, and then you look at your Kiddush Levana card, or a sitter, if you so choose. But still, we're supposed to, you know, at least glance at it, and take this lesson, this reminder, that there's hope for the Jewish people, and that things will turn around, and we will be returned to our splendor and glory. That's the third reason offered by the Karban Eliyahu. Just last thing I want to do tonight is a little piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus about Rosh Chodesh. And Rav Pinkus also, he's dealing with the question, why is this the first mitzvah? Must be a very important mitzvah. And Rav Pinkus has a way of sort of leading you along, building something up, a concept. And And here he talks about how, right, this mitzvah is being given at Rosh Chodesh, on Pesach time, the birth of Am Yisrael, the birth of the Jewish people, and just as Yetzias Mitzrayim was the birth of the Jewish people, so he says every Pesach is a rebirth of a person. What is a person? We have to know what does it mean for a person to be born? What is man? Lahu Adam. So he says, you know, there are those who say that, you know, man is just another kind of animal. But, of course, the truth is that we know the pinnacle of creation, that man is a very special creation, a bria that has the ability, that's Vekus Hashem, to come close to the Creator, a very amazing creation. What is it that separates us from the rest of creation, from animals? Ultimately, what separates us is our koach habachira, our ability to choose, our ability of free choice. But if Pinchas says that it's not, there's different types of free choice. You know, when we think of bechira, we usually get into the specifics. That at any given moment, I have the choice. I could eat this without a bracha. I could eat it with a bracha. You know, hopefully I'll use my bechira to make the right decision and, and make the bracha. I could eat treif, I could not. I have to use my bechira to choose. That's how we normally think of it. He says, there's a deeper form of bechira, right? He says, that type of bechira is like a decision. I have a decision to make, and I have free choice, right? He says, when we say, for example, by the Haftorah, we say the Bracha Asher Bachar, the Nevi'im Tovim. Right? We bless Hashem that He chose good Nevi'im, right? That doesn't mean that Hashem had a choice before Him. He said, I could pick the good Nevi'im or I could pick the bad Nevi'im, and He chose the good Nevi'im, right? But what it means is, what he calls Bechira Mukhletes. It's a total choice.
Enough to be like you're sick, then you could drink.
It's a life choice, right? It's a perspective. It's a direction or a commitment. That's another form of bechira. It's not just this or this. Which one will I choose? But it's uvacharta v'chayim. You should choose life. That's what is your direction in life? What do you desire? He says, modern psychologists might tell you if a mother brings her child in, he's wild, he's out of control, what's wrong? So the psychologist examines him. He says it's not the boy's fault. When he was young, you did this and that, and that's why he ended up like this. It's not his fault. So she says, wait, so then it's my fault, right? And she starts to feel terrible. My fault. He says, no, it's not you. It's your parents. No. So, and if they were there, he would tell them that it was their parents, right? And nobody's, according to the psychologist, nobody's at fault. Everything is nature or nurture. It's society around you, the two together, and it's like now, I can't remember the philosophy of For everything is already set in motion. There's a word for it. But, yeah, where it's, you know, it's an automatic result of a previous sales, maybe that sense. Yeah. So, that, you know, nobody's responsible because everything is on a crash course already. So, but that's not the Torah tells us, right? The Torah says there's bechira, there's free choice. And that's granted to each of us. So, Rosh Chodesh, and Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. So, he says the moon is a marshal for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people. And the sun is HaKadosh, represents HaKadosh Baruch. And just as the moon gets its light from the sun, so too the Jewish people get their light from HaKadosh Baruch. However, when does the moon get light from the sun? So the moon orbits here, right? And as it approaches the sun, as it comes into the, you know, towards the where the sun is shining, it gets a little bit of light, right? And as it goes a little bit closer, comes out a little more, turns towards the sun a little more, so then it gets more light from the sun. He says the same is true with Am Yisrael, that when we turn towards Hashem, so we're born, we get that first drop. Now we're using our bechira to turn towards Hashem, and we get that first bit of light from Him. That Tzelem Elokim, all of a sudden is born within us, is being put to use. So, now, there are different levels of turning towards Hashem. Because there are people who serve Hashem with their eyes, and there are those who serve Hashem with their hands. Meaning, Jim saying as an example, right, the tefillin belongs on the head, right? The harayt, the dukim, parashabal, you only learn parashabasav, so they had their tefillin between their eyes. What's the difference? Two ways to serve Hashem. Serving Hashem with your eyes, you're serving Hashem with your head. Serving Hashem with your eyes, you know, you could be following the Torah. But the question, but it's based on an understanding that, you know, if I, you know, look, there's some good things out there, and all I gotta do is listen to Hashem, and I'll get to take part in all those good things. And it's a madrega, it's a level, you know, he's serving Hashem. But he's serving Hashem with his eyes. That's not, he says, that's not the where we really want to be. We want to really be serving Hashem with our mind, with our choice. We are opting. That's what I want. V'charta v'chaim, and you should choose life. Should choose the way of avodas Hashem. Could be with your heart also, I guess. So that's what the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is teaching us. We have to choose. We have to use our bechira, exercise our bechira, and it's not a one moment decision. It's a direction in life. That where are we facing? Which direction are we going? And at the beginning, you know, there's very little. The beginning of the month, the moon isn't there. But the moon turns towards the sun, and we turn towards Hashem. And
don't
before long, great things will happen. And there will be more, the more we turn towards Hashem, the more Hashem turns towards us, and the more light we will be able to receive back from Hashem. And of course, it goes the other way also, that once the sun, the moon starts to move away from the sun, and go back under the earth, and hide from the sun again, so then the light diminishes and diminishes, and then there's left with nothing. And the same is true with us. When we choose to turn towards Hashem, to devote ourselves, devote our lives, use our bechira to serve Hashem, so then we will get this light back. We will receive reward. We'll receive the oneg, the enjoyment from the shechina, and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we start to move away, to turn away, then that diminishes as well. That mitzvah is a mitzvah worthy to start the Torah with. The mitzvah, as it thinks, that reminds us, that teaches us, that we have to use our bechira to direct ourselves towards Avodas Hashem. That is a mitzvah that, as Rashi says, "V'haya tzarech lahaspas haTorah el me'achodesh zelachem." The mitzvah rishon, it's the first mitzvah. The Torah only needed to start from haChodesh zelachem, and that is the a mitzvah worthy to be the very first mitzvah.